Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Steve Jones Show, Thursday, May 2nd, 2019, News Radio 1070 WKOK. You can find us at stevejonesshow.com and on social media. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle at Steve Jones PSU. You can also drop us a line anytime. Our email is stevejones@wkok.com. Subscribe to our podcast. We're on iTunes, Apple Podcast app, and Google Play. Search Steve Jones Show and hit subscribe. We'll take the shows right to your smartphone and tablet so you don't have to do all the searching high and low, get them right to you. And if you happen to listen to us on iTunes or through the Apple Podcast app, don't hesitate to leave us a review. That'll help get the word out to even more people about our podcast and to Penn State fans everywhere. So we're a little less than 48 hours away from the most exciting 2 minutes in sports, Churchill Downs, the Kentucky Derby. So we'll be talking ponies later this hour. We'll also get some NFL draft talk at 4:06 with Russell Baxter, ProFootballGuru.com. And Steve's brother Kevin Jones does not want to wait till tomorrow, so he'll check in today at 4:35. And don't worry, we will have more Kentucky Derby conversation with Steve and his basketball partner from the Nittany Lions, Penn State Sports Network, Dick Girardi, who is at Churchill Downs. Steve and Dick will connect tomorrow and talk more horses with you and get the field figured out in time for Saturday night's big race. And of course, yeah, the big news, Omaha Beach will not run. Not only at the Kentucky Derby, he's also not going to run the Preakness or the Belmont. He's scratched.
Horse?
Yeah, horse is a little hoarse. Right.
Look, I can't. I was shocked to find out that you need to breathe to run. Dick Girardi's going to be on the show tomorrow.
Yes.
That was his horse.
Ooh. Back to the drawing board.
So, well, you know, he recovered, believe me. He recovered. But yeah, that was the horse. So now there are some interesting horses there, including the three Baffert horses. And that's going to be moving forward. A lot of people would zero in on them. That is, by the way, I'll give you a quick hint. The three Baffert horses, Dick did not pick one of the three.
Mm.
Ooh. Plot thickens.
Yes.
Who did he pick? Now, there are two shows a year where the suit listens. One is, of course, any Indy 500 show we do. And then he listens to the horse racing one.
Yeah,
he's been known to drop by and get a $2 ticket, maybe higher than that. It is, you have a lot of OTB places now where you can make these bets. You can do it online now. And every state, more and more states, obviously, in terms of sports betting, but the horse racing part you've been able to do. And I believe, and I don't think the Breeders' Cup has eclipsed this. I believe the Kentucky Derby is the day where more money is wagered on horse racing than any other, because it is the signature event. What's interesting is that the last two Belmont Stakes were a Triple Crown winner. Happened, American Pharoah and Justified. You had a lot of people buying $2 tickets just to have the ticket and never cashed it in. Our guy would have cashed it in.
Oh, it's cash. Money.
Hey, it's a $2 ticket, okay? You got a $1.12 back on the return because everybody was betting him. But we'll talk to Dick about that tomorrow. We've got Barry Abrams today. Talking about the Kentucky Derby. Does a lot of work with ESPN. So we'll talk with Barry Abrams today about that on the show. Looking forward to that very much. Really, the Kentucky Derby is an interesting, you know, it's interesting in a couple of ways. Okay, these are the top 3-year-olds. Okay, so that's the start. But then there's the next part. The next part is, you know what all these horses have in common besides being 3-year-old thoroughbreds? Sean, this is what they have, all 20 of them have in common. They've never run a mile and a quarter in a race before. None of them have. Not one time have they run a mile and a quarter. This will be the first time. Then it gets to the part I just referenced to in the sentence, the 20-horse field. You don't have 20-horse fields. Okay? In American sports, in American horse racing, you have 14 as the max number in the field. Here you got 20. I mean, the front stretch to start the race is a cluster bomb. Remember Mendelsohn last year? Everybody loved Mendelsohn. The trainer was one of the top trainers in Europe from Ireland. The horse, where the sheikhs owned the horse from Dubai. It put a lot of money into it. This horse was bred for this moment. The trainer was one of the top guys in Europe. The whole deal. Right? That horse got knocked around like a pinball out of the start and finished last. Mendelsohn finished last a year ago. And that's the effect of the 20-horse field. You have to somehow get out clean. And then once you get out clean, get to as much clean air as possible, especially if it's the possibilities that might rain. I have never been to the Kentucky Derby. It was interesting in talking with Dick today, Dick Girardi today. Dick went to 31 consecutive Kentucky Derbies until last year. He was retired. You know, he still does the stuff with us and others. And he's not going this year either. And he said to me, he says, you know what? He says, I've got that itch again. He says, I miss it. And I said, you know, the odd part is I'm not a person, I do not have a bucket list. I think that's, you know. I'm always like, it's on my bucket list. Well, I can't know. What are you closing out your life here? What are you doing? I don't feel like I'm closing out my life. But there's certain places I've always wanted to go to, I wanted to see, for example. You know, I've been to Lambeau Field. I've been to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Yeah, I've been to Churchill Downs, but I've never been to the Kentucky Derby. I mean, I'd like to go at some point to a Masters. You know, I've covered the U.S. Open several times. But I'd like to go to a Masters. Well, I'd like to go to a Kentucky Derby. Now, next year, as of the end of June, all 5 children are married. So let's take that expense off the table in life. Now, there may be others, obviously, along the way. But I don't have anything for next year. And I'm sitting back saying, you know, maybe I'll just once go to the Kentucky Derby. Now, I would get hooked up, obviously, with a media pass. I'm not going to stand in the infield. because I'm arrogant.
Party animal, don't knock it till you try it.
Oh, no, there's certain things in life where you know you don't have to try. Okay.
Especially on rainy days down there.
Just so you know. I was like, I don't do that. What do you think? No, I don't think that's really me. Oh, my goodness.
That'd be cool to do. Day before the race next year. Convince your broadcast partner to head down. Yeah. Do a remote broadcast from there. We have the technology.
Oh, I know. I'm well aware.
Pretty neat.
Yes. But it's just something to... I was thinking about, because he brought it up. I said, you know, because my son Dan is going this year. And... he's never gone before, and I thought, geez, if he's going, where am I going to go, you know? And I've been to, you know, obviously I've done 19 games in Madison Square Garden, you know? I've done a couple of Rose Bowls, at Lambeau Field, I've been to some of the great venues. I've gone to Churchill Downs, so I've actually been to Churchill Downs, but I've not been there on Derby Day. One person soured my desire to go to the Indianapolis 500. Who would that be, Sean? Who would sour your desire to go to the Indy 500 because they're just so obsessed with it?
Our guy.
They're out here today on Carburation Day. Oh. When's the race? All right. Okay. I'm here for the pit stop challenge. Oh. The skill with which they do it is incredible. I wish that we had a pit stop challenge at a couple of the gas stations I've gone to. Okay. Hey, wait, we're done. We're 8 seconds. We're back on the road. We'd love to see that. But that's not my cup of tea in terms of watching a competition. But I've thought about that. I've thought about it. I haven't been to Fenway Park in 7 years, and Dan and I are going to go to Fenway in 2 weeks. See the Astros and the Red Sox. Maybe they'll both be above 500 at that point. Who knows? Don't know. So we got Perry Abrams on the show today. Let's see, who else do we have on the show? You know, Dick Girardi tomorrow. That'll be a lot of fun. By the way, at the trial in Manhattan dealing with the coaches, of all this bad news on Will Wade, bad news on Sean Miller, and so on and so forth, especially Miller. You know, Wade didn't come out great either. All right. Tom Izzo's name came up today, except not in the way that you would think. They were trying to get Brian Bowen, who ended up eventually at Louisville and then, of course, got X'd out at Louisville because of all this. Well, Christian Dawkins is from Michigan, so they're trying to work out something, get him to Michigan State, and Tom Izzo told him in no uncertain terms, no, we're not paying any money for him. So that actually came out. That was actually good news. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. Okay, as you know, we carry the Dan Patrick Show here every day from 10 to 1. Dan is an absolutely brilliant talent. I don't care whether it's SportsCenter, what he did for years with NBC, or this talk show. This talk show is a gold standard talk show, in my opinion. And I'm proud that WKOK carries it. Dan had an interesting show today because he opened up about some health issues that have really plagued him for a long time. He talked about the extreme joint pain that he has. And so in order to remedy this, he started taking prednisone. Now, the medication helped with the pain, but Dan revealed today that it led to issues such as depression, personality change, and even suicidal thoughts. That's an awful, awful world to live in. But the pain was bad, so he took this, and then it led to these side effects, even though it eased the pain. So because of that, he wanted to stop taking prednisone. So his doctors then recommended getting light chemotherapy IVs. But here's the problem. That also has side effects. And two of them happen to be daily headaches and memory loss. Dan was on the show today telling everyone that there was a point where he could not remember Albert Pujols' name during a show. And, of course, Pujols is stepping up the ladder on many career lists, so his name is going to come up. And he also forgot how to start his car. Then he started forgetting regular tasks, like shopping for a specific item. Hey, look, I got to go to the store. I got to pick up macaroni or whatever, and completely forget why he went to the store. And he'd leave the store with something completely different. He says the condition has shown some improvement, so that was great news. But that is an awful road to go down. And you're talking about a brilliant, brilliant sports media person who has a great feel as an anchor, great feel as a talk show host, and for sports in general. Gets a great guest list on that show, but has the group around him in the man cave and the whole deal. And I'm sure all of us, you know, look, that he's able to fight his way through this and can get back on track. I mean, I hope he has a full and complete recovery, because I have nothing but... I only met him like a couple times. I mean, like, just met him. Like, hey, how you doing? Nice to meet you. That's it. It was very nice, you know, to deal with. But again, as someone who has great respect for his work, and I have great respect for his work, and I'm thrilled that we're carrying him, that was hard to hear that today, where he opened up about that. And he was very emotional about it, too.
Yeah, they have a basketball court in the man cave, and they had a hoop in the old man cave, too, up there in Connecticut. And during the commercial breaks, you know, he and the Danettes would take some, you know, shots at the hoop. And I remember one time he had some...
He's tall.
Yeah.
I mean, Dan's tall.
Yeah, yep. Had a, you know... He was hoping to have a promising NBA career, but lucky for us, he went into broadcasting instead. And I remember one time several years ago, he was having work on his knee. And that's got to be just scratching the surface on everything that he's been going through.
Right. Well, it was an emotional segment talking about it. Very personal.
And obviously, we're thrilled to have him on because he's brilliant. At the same time, we're really hoping he gets himself back on track, because what he's going through has been very difficult. Barry Abrams, next half hour. Russell Baxter, ProFootballGuru.com, 4:06 half hour, and the King at 4:35. I guess that Dan Patrick has never been able to book despite his best efforts. On News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Okay, today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Okay, so let's turn the clock back to 1974. So what are we talking about, what, 45 years ago? Doc Ellis. Leadoff batter, Pete Rose. Hit him with a pitch. Second batter, Joe Morgan. Hit him with a pitch. Dan Dreesen, third batter. Hit him with a pitch. Then he threw four inside pitches to Tony Perez trying to hit him. Then he threw two pitches at Johnny Bench's head before finally Danny Murtaugh walked out and said, son, hand me the ball. you can't put a price on that kind of excellence. Yeah.
And yeah, how about Corey Kluber last night suffering that forearm?
Yeah,
that Brian Anderson, 102 mile an hour shot.
Yeah,
wow,
that's awful.
Wrong place, wrong time.
Oof. Right. Corey Kluber, to his credit, was a legitimate major league pitcher. All right, so Doc Ellis. What did he admit? I think he admitted he threw a no hitter against the Padres in LSD. Walked like eight guys, hit two other guys. The Padres probably didn't get a hit because they were just scared to death. It's like, oh, okay, I don't like getting in there. You get in there. I don't know. I don't want to get in there. All right, let's bring in Barry Abrams, ESPN, to talk about the Kentucky Derby. Barry, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Steve, how are you?
Doing really well, Barry. Let's start with this, obviously, with the scratch of the favorite, Omaha Beach. Does this make what we're about to watch on Saturday even more unpredictable in a 20-horse field?
I don't know about that. I mean, first of all, Omaha Beach was not going to change the way the race is going to be run. He's part of the early pace. He probably would have been right behind it.
Yeah.
So the race is going to happen the way it's going to happen. Obviously, you have a different potential outcome with the favorite out of it. But no, I don't think it makes it less predictable, because I really didn't think there were that many horses who could win, and I still don't. I think it's really Bob Baffert's trio of Game Winner, the two-year-old champion, right, Improbable, and Roadster, the Santa Anita Derby winner, along with maybe now Code of Honor. I'd probably put him up there with a chance.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's a very deep field here, let's put it that way.
My sense in looking at the numbers is that there are very few horses in this field that are actually better than they were as two-year-olds. Is that accurate?
I mean, Game's trained really well, even though he hasn't won this year. His two races in Arkansas and California come back really well statistically. So I can't say he's not better. I mean, by the finishes, he's not better. But by the performances and the numbers that have come back from them, I can't really say that. There are others in there that I would agree with you on, and that's why I don't have them near the front of my prediction list.
All right. You mentioned the three Baffert horses. Look, if you've trained one Triple Crown winner, people will gravitate towards you. If you train two, you've got a line of people that want you to train their horse. And Baffert's a great trainer to begin with. Now it's gone to a different level with him. What is it about these three horses that Baffert would consider them worthy that he does train them?
A couple of years ago, I interviewed Bo Miller, the ski champion,
yep,
who is trying to make a name for himself now in horse racing. And he's good friends with Bob Baffert. Baffert named his son after him,
yep,
Bodie. But when Bodie Miller brought a long shot to the Derby here as an owner a couple of years ago, Bob Baffert wasn't the trainer. And I asked him, why not? He said, and this is a champion athlete saying this, he plays in the deep end of the pool. I can't go there. Yeah. So if you're owning for Bob Baffert, you've got a pretty high-priced, well-bred, well-regarded horse that are even better than other people's well-bred, well-regarded horses. That's what he does. He has first-round draft picks every year, like Nick Saban at Alabama.
No,
or dare I say Penn State? Do I say Penn State?
Sure, you can say that if you want. It would,
okay,
make, it would make the local populace happy if you did.
Okay.
Right? They'd be thrilled with that. John Service has a horse in this race that I think some people regard as a pretty good horse. What do you think of him?
I mean, I've seen Maximum Security. Oh, that's a Jason Service.
That's Jason.
Maximum Security.
Yeah, he's Jason Maximum Service, I meant, I think. Yeah.
Right, right. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania connection.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, this is the interesting part of this. Yes, he won the Florida Derby, so clearly he's not just clunking into this thing. But
right,
the people who own Maximum Security, Gary and Mary West, also own the two-year-old champion Game Winner,
yes,
trained by Bob Baffert. Are you telling me that Gary and Mary West aren't going to use Maximum Security, who's going to be up on that early pace, to just set it up for Game Winner? When if Game Winner wins as the two-year-old champion, if he wins the Kentucky Derby, what is he worth at stud after that?
Right.
So I'd be hard-pressed to believe that somewhere along the line that Gary and Mary West, the owners, aren't saying, all right, the horse we really need to win this is Game Winner.
This is the only race in the country which has more than 14 in the field. It'll have 20. And I know of late, favorites have been winning. For a long period of time, they weren't. But of late, the favorites have been winning. How tough is the 20-horse field to negotiate for a jockey?
Last year, Aidan O'Brien, the greatest trainer in the world from Ireland, brought a horse over here named Mendelssohn, who finished last.
Yep.
Didn't really get out of the gate very well. And afterwards, Aidan O'Brien used adjectives to describe the Kentucky Derby like fierce and savage. And this is from a guy who has seen races and races all over the world, Australia, Europe, Dubai, everywhere. That is what this race is. It is fierce and savage. And that 20-horse bottleneck into the first turn is a rodeo that should be, you know, done in Madison Square Garden in February, the National Finals Rodeo. So it is difficult to bottleneck all those horses in there. It is amazing, that said, that for the last 6 years, the favorite has won the race, starting with Orban 2013.
Right.
But it is not as simple as it looks.
Orb, would that have been Shug McGahee training Orb?
Yeah.
So he's got a horse in this race that's interesting. What do you think of his horse?
I think Code of Honor has a big chance. His chances last out in the Florida Derby were compromised by a slow pace. He needs a faster pace to run at. He'll certainly get that here. And if you go two starts back in the Fountain of Youth at Gulfstream, he looked awesome. He got a good pace, closed into it, and, you know, charged through like a champ. So I give him every chance. And, oh, by the way, his morning line's 15-1.
Yeah.
Now with Omaha Beach out, he'll never go off quite that high. But he probably will go off at 9 or 10, which for a horse of his quality is pretty good.
What about Tacitus?
You know, Steve, the Wood Memorial, which he won in New York,
yep,
is not been very productive in, you know, horses to go on to win the Kentucky Derby. His number's good coming out of that. It was a significant jump from his start the race before, which he also won in Tampa Bay. I really on the fence. He's only 10-1, and his trainer, Bill Mott, only brings horses every so often. The Hall of Famer, he certainly knows when he's got a good one. I think he's a notch below. Not a big notch below, but a little notch below the ones we've been talking about.
Okay, on the rail, War of Wills. War of Wills is 15-1, which I find to be an interesting number.
He could be 115-1.
And
he
it wouldn't matter.
No chance here. First of all, the post is going to kill him.
He'll
get bottled.
He'll get bottled.
He's going to get bottled, right.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's good enough. I mean, he had a problem after the Louisiana Derby. He pulled a muscle in his backside, which, if you've ever done that, is not a good thing to do. But right. He seems to have recovered from that. He's been training well, you know, but I don't think he's good enough. The horse next to him is the one that interests me, and that's Tax, which I know this time of year people don't like to hear that. But, you know, he finished behind Tacitus in the Wood Memorial and finished behind, he raced against a couple of good horses who didn't make the Derby trail.
Right.
But his numbers have come back very consistent, good and consistent. You like to see that. Going from the two, I mean, I think he's a notch below as well. If he had a good post, I'd say maybe second or third, maybe. But going from the two where the field's going to swarm around him, they're going to have to use him out of the gate hard to make sure he doesn't get boxed. I don't see it. But I liked him more than War of Will.
When you look at, and when I talked about the 20-horse field, I think no matter what, you want to at least be in that first pack. That's, you know, for most of the trip, as much clean air as possible is really good. So give me a trip over the money quarter. How do you see the play out happen?
There's going to be a pretty fast pace here. I think the two on the inside that we mentioned, War of Will and Tax, McComb is going to be up there, Maximum Security. So you're going to get probably a 22-4 or 23 flat quarter.
That's good.
And then you're going to have a bunch behind there, including Game Winner. Improbable's probably not going to be all that far back. Then the question is, can the closers like Country House, right now Haikal is on the fence because he's got an abscess in his foot. Kieran McLaughlin, his trainer, is working on it. They haven't actually scratched him, but they might. Right. But he's a closer as well. Will Country House be able to negotiate, especially if it rains on Saturday, which it might?
Right.
You know, Orb closed from way back to win in 2013. It's not like it can't be done, but, and I think with a faster pace, like we're talking about, you know, when you drive on a highway, Steve, when everybody gets bunched up because of a construction or something like that, everybody gets bunched up. Everybody slows down.
Right.
When you go back to highway speed, everybody stretches out again.
Right.
With a fast pace, this field's going to be stretched out. And so closers will have an opportunity to close. Can they? I don't know the Country House is good enough to do that.
Right.
But I think with a fast pace, he'll have a chance. He'll have the room anyway.
Barry, obviously we're talking about the horse running this thing. Whenever you sit down and look at the total picture, does the jockey enter into it?
In this kind of race, absolutely.
That's why I mentioned Code of Honor, because I'm a big Johnny V guy.
Absolutely. I mean, this is definitely a rider's race, which is why, even though I don't think he's really good enough, you can't throw out somebody like Long Range Toddy going from near on the outside, because John Court rides in Kentucky. He's 58 years old. He's seen everything.
Yes.
You know, he did win in Arkansas earlier this year against a good field. I don't quite think he's going to bounce back to that, but in a rider's race where John Court is pretty wily, maybe. Yeah, it's definitely a rider's race.
Barry, how do you want to play this Saturday?
I think you go with the favorites up top, like we talked about.
Yep.
I don't think there's going to be a big surprise for the win column. It's what happens after that, because you do often see these long shots come in. You know that.
Yeah.
And so might there be a cutting humor in there at 30-1 for Todd Pletcher, who set a track record his last time out? Might it be Plouquet Parfait, the winner of the UAE Derby? Mm. If it rains, he's got a good record in the rain.
Yeah.
Maybe he clunks up for second place. I think there's going to be a long shot coming in behind the winner, but I don't think there's going to be a long shot for the win.
Right. So somebody in the favorite category, one of the top three, fair. And then three or four, and then one of the other horses probably that doesn't win in that group will be in the two, and then think outside the box for three. Would that be fair?
Yeah, I mean, you could probably even go outside the box for two.
Wow.
We've seen that. With a stretched out field, you know, you're going to have room for a cutting humor to close, for a plouquet parfait. Even Gray Magician might have a chance to close there. I wouldn't throw him out either.
Something I look at when I do look at a stakes race, for example, leading up to the Kentucky Derby, I usually like to watch how they run the next 100 yards. And the reason is, after the finish line, the reason is this. None of them have ever run in a mile and a quarter. I look at that. That tells me if they've got a little more juice to get there. Do you ever look at that?
Oh, yeah. It's not always shown on the screen. You sometimes have to go back and watch the replays online by yourself. But, yeah, the gallop out makes a difference. What's left in the tank for the next time? That's a huge issue. You obviously know what you're doing.
Hey, appreciate it so much, Barry. It is a great pleasure having you on. You've added a lot, and I think there's a few people out there that are saying, interesting advice. They like it. Appreciate it.
This is for entertainment purposes only, Steve.
You and I both know that, and that's just the way it's always been in almost every state.
Excellent. It's great to be with you.
Barry Abrams joining us from ESPN.com. Next half hour, we'll have Russell Baxter, ProFootballGuru.com, and then the guru of all gurus coming up. That would be the king. Hopefully get a chance to if you can listen back to Dan Patrick, what he talked about today. It was really interesting, very personal, about some of the pain issues he's had to endure. He is a brilliant media person. That's why his show has been so good, why we've been thrilled to carry it so many years. Hey, don't forget, we're counting down 5 days to go before we're at Penn's Tavern. That will be on next Tuesday night. We'll be there from 3 to 5 with the show. Then, I'm going to hang around for a little bit. I know Steve Engel, I think, had asked you in an email about me staying overnight, but I'm not going to. Sean, I'm going to drive back.
Yep, we talked about that off air, and we already replied back to Steve. And only a couple more slots open for the morning flight for Wednesday morning at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club. So.
And we mean like a couple slots. We don't mean foursomes. Like there's like one foursome spot available.
Yeah,
I mean that's it. I mean that's how filled this tournament is. We are thrilled because it benefits the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA, the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament. We will come back with more in a moment. Brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors and News Radio 1070 WKOK. How about Noah Syndergaard today? Noah Syndergaard became the seventh pitcher in the history of Major League Baseball to throw a 1-0 shutout and hit the home run to make it 1-0. Last guy to do it was Bob Welsh with the Dodgers back in 1983. So the Mets won 1-0. Syndergaard threw 104 pitches. Brilliant. Gave up 4 hits, complete game shutout, and accounted for the game's only run with a home run. Again, only the 7th pitcher to ever do it. And he has not really been pitching well. When you look at what he's done to this point, it's been a couple good outings here, a couple good outings there, and a couple of poor outings. Because he came into today's game, I believe, with an ERA that was over 6, I believe. Yeah, 1-3 with a 6.35 ERA. The Phillies, meanwhile, attendance, by the way, up 44%. It's amazing. I mean, and look, we can trace a lot of that to Bryce Harper. I know fans are booing Bryce Harper and to his credit. Yeah, I'll say this about Harper. He is honest. Hey, I boo me too. Okay? I boo me too. The Phillies do not play tonight. It's an off night. Before they open up a weekend series. Colorado leads Milwaukee 10-5, top of the 8th at Miller Park. Tampa Bay, Kansas City 1-1 at the Big K in the top of the 7th.
I mentioned, the Mets beat the Reds 1-0. Padres down Atlanta 11-2. Minnesota beat Houston 8-2. Cardinals and Nationals getting underway in just about 10 minutes in D.C. Toronto and the Angels tonight. And also tonight, the Red Sox, White Sox on the South Side tonight. The NBA playoffs tonight, Sixers in Toronto tied at a game apiece at 8. That is the ESPN game tonight. And in the NHL, it is the Bruins and Columbus with the Jackets up 2-1. San Jose is in Denver to take on Colorado at the Pepsi Center with the Sharks up 2-1. Next half hour, we'll talk about the NFL draft. Russell Baxter, ProFootballGuru.com. As we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our great friends at Sunbury Motors.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.